When I say juicy topic, you'll understand what I say afterwards, at the end. It's not so monolithic like the... Okay. If you don't know it, if you come just for source number one, it's worth it just for this source, as you will see. Okay. You ready? Okay. So, how do we connect holiness? Obviously, we have to define holiness, but how do we connect holiness to the parsha? Okay? So, once again, the parsha is very boring and, I would say, when I say boring, I mean in the colloquial sense, it's just a list of what objects were made and what the size was. And they finally finished the Mishkan. And we could, if we wanted to, we could do a lot of nice analysis. Many people in comparison to what we used the words last week, malacha, and we used the word tov and compare it to the creation. Okay, fine. But amongst all the lists of everything they have, we find something that's unusual. And even though it's unusual is that there's a big Rashi in the middle, because there's almost no Rashis at all. And if you've never heard this Rashi, I said, just coming for the Rashi is worthwhile. Use it many, many times. Okay? And you'll see why in a moment. Okay, so, let's start with, the concept of when we want to do something holy, because we're talking about holiness, right? What do we do on a weekly basis to show a little more holiness? Anybody know?
Well, the idea, the concept of holiness, I think, being separate.
Kind of holiness is the whole shiur. What thing do we do every week, once a week, to show holiness? What do the priests, the Kohanim, do before they would do their rituals?
They wash
their hands and wash their feet. Where would they wash them? There was something called, very good, something called the kior, which was the wash basin, right? We call it a sink, right? But with the wash basin. And it was made out of nechoshet, which is either brass or copper. Okay? So, in Kitisa, it says you should make the kior out of brass or copper or nechoshet. And it says that again in, I think, believe it's Yakim. All of a sudden, in this week's parasha, okay, so I brought it. Okay, I'm glad I brought it. In the first verse, it says, Sita kior nechoshet, right? Nechoshet, again, I'm not sure if what it means, what's brass and what's copper, the kano and its handle, l'rachza, we wash in order to become more holy, correct? So it's probably the holiest preparation for holiness. V'natata oto b'ein ha'moed, you should put it, where do you put it in the Mishkan? Between the tent of meeting, v'bein ha'mizmeach and the altar, v'natata sham ha'mayim. That's the water. V'rachatu ravam v'anav, all the priests would wash their hands, the etrav lehem and their feet. In this week's parsha, it says, doesn't say anything more. It says they made the kiyor in last week's parsha too. It says, Vayas ha-kiyor ha-nechoshet ve'et kano nechoshet b'mar'ot ha-tzovot, okay, in the colored screens, okay, asher tzavu petach ha-moed. What are the colored screens?
Curtains, no?
It seems like curtains. We don't know. What is colored screens? Marat al-Tavot, Rashi says, I want to explain to you, based on the Medrash, says the following. Binot Yisrael hayu biyadan marot. Marot doesn't only mean screen, it means mirrors. In fact, I think the word mirror may come from the word mara. Okay? The women of the Jewish women who always came to the help of the men were schleppers and did all the sins. It's the women who always saved us. Okay? You'll see in a second. Binot Yisrael hayu biyadan marot. They had these mirrors in Egypt. Sheraot bahen kishehen mitkashtot. And they used them whenever they would, get dressed up, right? Not unlike today. I saw a great line. I think it maybe one of those silly things. Guy goes to a guy looks at the mirror and he says, notices, he says that there are, you know, lines over here, and it's grayer and whatever, and all kinds of things. He says to his wife, he says, you know, they don't make mirrors like they used to. Anyway, so they would use these mirrors when they would get dressed up, even in Egypt. The Ach Otan lo kavu lehavim le divrat ha-mishkan. When they asked the people to bring their gold and silver and copper, etc., etc., they didn't only give in what they took from the Egyptians, they also gave in these mirrors as a donation to the Mishkan. Okay? V'haya mo'es bahen Moshe bahen. Moshe says, no, we can't accept this, for the holy tabernacle is not going to use mirrors that the women use to make themselves beautiful. Okay? Mipnesha suyim yekara, because the whole purpose of mirrors is to concentrate on the body and to make yourself, you know, this. Okay, and then Yetzer Hara, before they had sex, you'll see in a moment, with the husbands, they would use the mirrors. Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kabel. You are wrong, Moshe. You take these mirrors for the Kiyor. Ki, now we're going to come back to this at the end. Ki Elu Chavivin Olai Min HaKol. Of all the donations in the whole Mishkan, these are the favorite, these are the best. Why are these the best? Okay. Sha'al Yedehen, what do they use these mirrors for? Sha'al Yedehen ha'amidu ha'nashim tzoba'ot rabot b'mitzrayim. Because they use them as mirrors in Egypt. Kishayu ba'alehem yigiyim ba'avodat perach. The men would come back, you know, disposed to death at night, right? Exhausted, not only exhausted, you know, they were beaten, etc., etc. What do these women do? Ha'yu achol v'molichol lahen. They made them a nice, made the husbands a nice meal, and they would make sure they got their nutrition back. And they used this as a way of, flirting with their husbands, meaning they would look at each other, etc., etc. And they would also use words to whatever, and they would flirt, right? Why? Lomar ani me'am mimicha. She said, I'm more handsome, I'm more beautiful than you are. And he said, no, I'm more handsome than you are. Umikol kach me'viyol le'balehem yidei ta'ava. And little by little, they brought their husbands to become, they wanted to have sex, they were flirting, and they got over the fact that they were so exhausted. And they had sexual relations. And because of that, they had Jewish children. Okay? And when it says, this is what it means when it says, these mirrors that helped the women entice and lure their husbands to sexual relations is what it means when it says that they gave God, these were given as a donation. Shehu l'shum shalom ben ish l'ishto, because this made peace among them, much more than peace, and made them have children. Hashkot mi mayim shematalchol imekina. This is talking about a sotah, which I'm not going to talk about now. L'ba'alahu satara v'da'etedah l'chal shehein marot mamash. This is not an imagery. This was really a mirror. Okay, they didn't have the silver mirrors that they had after. It was not perfect like we have today. Okay. Before I go further, okay, why do you think Moshe objected, and why do you think God said this is my favorite, which is the key to the whole shiur? Sorry, any more? I'm sure I have more. I have more. I've got 25. Okay. Okay. Why do you think Moshe was against this, and why do you think? God said, no, this is the most important. Now remember, this is Rashi. We'll come back to the fact that it's Rashi later on. Anybody? Okay. So I'm good. You're in the right place for the shiur. Okay? Moshe says, anything that's sexual in nature, anything that's prurient in nature, and is Yetzer Hara, etc., etc., doesn't belong in the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan should be the opposite of holiness, I mean the opposite of tava, should be only holiness, pure thoughts, etc., etc., correct? Hashem says, no. Hashem says, this is the most holy of anything. Why is this the most holy? I said, we'll come back to the very end, I think, maybe. Why is this the most holy? Something which could have been used for something disgusting. Instead, the women used it to make sure that they would, the next generation would have Jewish children, right? That is the most holy of all. How God is saying, why? Okay, we'll come back to the, okay, everybody got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I use this for many, many years for specific reasons. In our day and age, what are the colored screens?
What are the?
What's the equivalent of these colored screens in our day and age? Okay, I say the computer is a colored screen.
Oh, blue screen.
And the television is a colored screen.
Blue light.
All right, and you go into a movie house, that's a colored screen. Okay, all three of these technologies have the potential for terrible things, right? Pornography on the internet is the number one site. People don't want to say that. That's the number one site that's searched, I believe. Can be used for pornography in the computer. On the other hand, the computer, the internet, can be used for Torah. There are thousands and thousands of Torah shiurim that can get to people who have no way of accessing shiurim from any live people. If you go to, I'll tell you some of the places I've been to. Reformed Soviet Union. Shiurim in Russian. Places, where was I? That was very strange. But you can go get shiurim. Right? Same thing with movies. There are movies that are horrible, movies that are terrible, and there are movies which are, bring out Judaism, bring out Jewish feeling more than anything else. It's amazing. But I was a rabbi in Riverdale, and I'm going to have time. I hope I'm a few minutes late. It's okay. I hope everybody's in. The rabbi in Riverdale, who was in the 70s, came the first movie series. The miniseries was very big then. The Holocaust, if you don't remember. Some very famous actors, not going to go through it. They had groups, and then they had the Holocaust. Survivors who had never spoken about the Holocaust publicly, as a result of that, started speaking about the Holocaust and revived, and started many, many survivors. Till today, that was the first time it was okay to speak about it. And all over the world. There are more people who believe that the Holocaust happened because they saw Spielberg's Schindler's List than all the books put together. Even though Schindler's List wasn't real. He caused more people to say, wow, that really, you know. So think about what our silver screens have done, right? So anything, what God is saying is, what's holy? Something that has potential for non-holy and terrible, and you turn it into something positive and Jewish and the Torah, that's the holiest of all. Okay? With that as a basis, now let's see what, if everybody agrees. Remember, this is only a medrash. Okay? We're going to end with Halakha. Okay? Okay. Why is holiness such an important topic to us? I don't know if you're aware. You're aware that you're supposed to eat kosher. Are you aware that you're supposed to be holy?
Yeah.
Okay, so some people are, some people are not. First of all, it not only before there was a specific commandment, when we get to Har Sinai, what does God say in source number 2? Va'atem ti'yuli, you will be for me, mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. What does that mean? Normally in every society, there are a few people who are the kohanim, the priests. Right? Like we had at Mishkan, right? Not, and that's a special caste, that have a, if you want to say, a holiness higher than everybody else, right, Kohanim? But God says, no, Mamlechet Kohanim. Every single person of the nation has to be a Kohen. Okay, we'll see what that means by the time we finish. V'goy Kadosh, and you have to, the whole nation is Kadosh. There's nothing more holy about a Kohen than there is about any person in this room. Okay? They have certain functions, right? They do certain things, they can bless us, etc. And they do the work in the Beit HaMikdash, that every Jew has Kiddusha. We'll see in a moment. We could have Kiddusha. And then very much had the Be'er HaShem, Moshe, and the Mor. Okay, Israel. Okay. Remember last week I said there's only two places in the Torah where it says that, that the whole people were called together, right? One was Shabbat. The second place is in Kiddushim, and it says, Daber el kol adat b'nei Yisrael, come together all the people of Israel, only two places. And what's the mitzvah that they all have to do? Ve'amarta aleihem kiddushim tihiyu. You have to try to be holy. That's what it says. So therefore, what we're going to study tonight is what does it mean to be holy? Before I say anything else, I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell me, what does holiness mean? Forget about source number one for now. If I asked you before we came in here tonight, I said, you have an obligation as a Jew to be holy. What does it mean?
Separate.
In the Torah. Okay, very good. So the word kiddushin, as we will see in Rashi, means separate. What does separate mean? I don't talk to my non-Jewish neighbor. What does separate mean? Very nice. So what means separate? I don't have any friends?
No. To be a part of the... To be...
If you say part, you're really not separate.
I mean a part. I mean a part of the masses, of the way the group goes. You have your own values. You have your own...
Be an individual. So therefore, what does that mean? So the whole... All the Jews are keeping Shabbat. I won't keep Shabbat. What does that mean?
Oh, yeah.
By the way, the word part is part of the word separate. Right? Well, what does that mean? Very nice. So if all my friends are stealing, I won't steal, I understand. But if all my friends are good people, I should be close to them?
Yeah, but yeah.
What does it mean?
It's like the harsh of those who are separate.
Okay, you should be together with only good people. Okay, but that's not part. Okay, yeah.
No, but
it's not. By the way, this question we're going to see has five different answers that we'll learn tonight. So I'm saying we're not. There's no right or wrong here. Yes.
But I'm just thinking, like, as a nation, like this situation we're in right now, where some things are so clearly good and evil, and the rest of the world seems to have a hard time understanding that, and we are so clear on it here as a nation.
So if the commandment said be good,
it doesn't say good.
Where it does say in other places in Torah, this will cause you to be good. Good. We have to be good. That's the whole Torah. So what's special about being holy? The whole Torah teaches us to be good.
But holy in the sense that we are separate because the rest of the world doesn't even see how we see. That's what I'm saying. We are separate. We are set apart.
Are you meaning, do you mean different?
No.
What do you mean separate? If somebody
out.
In the United States said...
We are pulled out from the rest of the world. We are different. Yes,
and if the rest of the world, President Biden has come ups and downs, back and forth, without Biden we would be nowhere today. Because he gave us, immediately came to Israel, gave us the support in terms of army. You know how many bullets we've used in the last 7 months? Right? You don't realize how much the United States has given under the, you know, without publicizing it, how much the United States has helped Israel. And you ask any of the generals, without that, we couldn't fight the war. Because we don't have that much, you know, in reserve. Nobody thought there'd be a war of 7 months. We never had a reserve like that. I'm not going to get into politics. But if Biden not say, I'm behind Israel, he has to do everything to destroy Hamas. But if another president who said, listen, I understand that you feel that you were thing, but they feel that way, and we have to have a ceasefire after 2 weeks, right? We would be in Achenvei because we would be waiting for the next October 7th. We all know that, okay? And I'm not coming here for politics, but I'm saying the United States supports Israel, 85% still, the young people not. So if the United States supports Israel, we should say we're going to be on our own. You're talking about the people who don't support, right? But that doesn't mean, what does it mean that you should be holy? It has nothing to do with what they're doing. They support us, don't support us. That's their problem. What does it mean for you to be holy? Allison, I have to be holy. What am I going to do tomorrow to be holy?
Close to God.
What?
Close to God.
Okay, that's one answer. I have to be closer to God. Closer to God than I am now. How?
Mitzvah.
We'll see.
Mitzvah.
Okay? Keeping the Torah, mitzvah, is all over the Torah. It doesn't, there's a 613 mitzvot in to be holy. Keeping the Torah, we say that every night in the Shema, do all the mitzvot, right? So that's not holy. The word holy doesn't appear. It says, yeah. When it comes to Mitzrayim, right? Says you should keep the throne and then eventually you'll be holy. It's true. But what does it mean here specifically, be holy? Okay, so it's not such a simple question. And what am I going to do tomorrow to be holy? Well, that's one of the 613 commandments. Right? So, now well, I'm going to show you something here now, which reflects source number one that we did, that you don't really think about. Okay? The word for holiness in Judaism is?
Kadosh.
Kadosh, Kedusha, right? Holiness, right? There's another word in the Torah which has the same four letters. Okay? What?
Kedesha.
Kedesha, which means?
Prostitute.
Source number three. Lo tiyeh kedesha mibinot Israel. You shall not be a prostitute. There are other places that talk different words for prostitute, but the word kedesha is the word for prostitute. Specifically because it's the same word as kedusha. Why? What does a prostitute do?
She separates.
She doesn't separate. She looks for customers.
She joins them.
Okay, she doesn't join either. What does she do? Okay, she has sexual relationship for money, which is very, for many, many reasons, very anti-Jewish, and that's why you're not allowed to be a prostitute. Okay? The Yoliyeh Kadesh, the same thing, is about a male prostitute. I wouldn't have thought, when I was growing up, I didn't understand, how could it be a male prostitute? Right? Not knowing, or being, how should I say, I didn't grow up knowing that so many people were gay, and I didn't know that that there were male prostitutes. But then the Torah knew, Lo Tiyeh Kadesh Mibnei Yisrael, don't be a male prostitute. Again, using the word Kadesh. Why do you think it used the same word for holiness and prostitution? Okay, now I'm going to tell you something which is very powerful. We're going to go through several definitions of holiness in order to teach us that it's not about the act itself. The act itself, sexual relations, if I ask you, is it something good or something bad, you should already know by now that it's a trap, because is sex something good or bad in Judaism?
Either
one.
Or
depends.
So it depends on what?
The purpose.
The time, the place, and the purpose. Okay? TPP, as I say. Time, the place, and the purpose. The same act in everything we do depends on the time, the place, and the purpose. It could be something positive, it could be something holy, or it could be something disgusting. Same act. And that's what it said, is sex. Where do we see that sex is called something holy, or sexual relations are holy? What we call marriage in the Torah. Kiddushin.
Uh-huh.
Marriage is called kiddushin in the Torah. The same word for prostitute. Because if you have sexual relations for the purpose of coming together, Ilu Basar Echad, you become one flesh, you work towards something special, and you have children, etc., right time in the month, holiness. On the other hand, if you do it as a business, obviously it's everything the opposite of holiness, correct? So therefore, just one second, therefore, what we're saying is, it's not the act itself which is holy or not holy. It's the purpose, the time, and the place. Yes?
I'm just trying to understand the connection between the two words. If they're very similar, then is it saying that the word kodesh to do with sex? Because it's a
The Torah is trying to teach you that it's not the act itself.
No, but about sex, it's about sex. Because a prostitute is called that, and the word holy is called that.
Correct.
That's what it's saying when it says that word.
Exactly.
Wow.
The sex itself, you can't tell the difference. Right?
No, but I'm saying in general, we're saying holy people can do anything.
Well, let me develop it first. Okay. Further. Source number four. Lakol, just the simple words, what it means. Lakol zman ve'et, tachar ha-shamayim. Everything God created. A purpose and a time in heaven. Okay? And therefore, it could be something good, or something bad. Okay? Not only that, source number five is amazing. Amazing source. And I developed it further, okay? There was a woman named Yalta, right? In the Gemara. source in source number 5 in Tehillim, who said the following, Amra le yalta le Rav Nachman, she said a very profound thing to Rav Nachman, Michdei techol da'asa le Rachmana, we're not going to read every source, don't worry, the whole thing. Everything that the Torah says is not permitted in one place, Sharalan kavase, it has a different place that it's permitted. Okay? So if you think about everything that's forbidden in the Torah, I went to a comedy concert, and he said, they said this for years already, Ilan Gold, he says, we have a holiday in Yom Kippur where you're not allowed to do 5 things. So I would love to have a holiday, right, where you have to have sex, you have to have oil, you have to eat, you have to, what are the other two?
Leather
and, what? Well, you have to wash, you have to be in a bath, right? Yalta said it a long time before him, right? Not all together at once, but for everything that is not permitted, there's something that's permitted. So what's your immediate question?
What about kosher?
What about kosher? So they before the thing that Yalta talks about, what about the taste of blood? You're not allowed to eat blood. Not that we would want to, forget about the fact we want to or not. That's cultural. Right? If you speak to the Sfarim, you'll see in a minute, one thing that they have is the Sfarim. Okay? He says, the first thing, he says, where do we have the taste of blood that's permitted in Judaism? Right? He says, what about Dama? Dama, Itatallah Dama? Sharallah Kabda. Apparently, the taste of liver is very similar to the taste of blood. Okay? Okay? Dam Tamar. Alright, and we'll have something interesting. Chalev is a certain kind of fat that is not permitted in a behema, which is a domesticated animal, which is permitted in a, okay, this is the best one. Chazir, where's the taste of chazir permitted? Moched the shibuta. The taste of shibuta is a fish that is a kosher fish with fins and scales, is the taste of chazir. So everybody asks, how do they know that? That's a joke, okay? And he goes on to say, for example, and he goes and they say later on, the taste of milk and meat, right? I don't know what that taste is. But and this is something that the Sfarim eat. There is a way of making the udder of the cow kosher. There's a way, it's like liver, it's a little different. But the udder of the cow, apparently, after you make it kosher and you eat it, it tastes like milk and meat together. Okay? So that's about taste. We always jump to that first. People jump to that first. We'll come to that also. I have no desire to eat milk together. I don't know. Okay, you know, whatever. Maybe cheap bread. Anyway, okay. What about all the other things? If it's true, it's not only true with taste, it's true with everything. We said sex. What about forbidden sex? So this Gemara says, we know that if somebody is married, right? A man is married, and his brother has sex with his wife, that's one of the forbidden sexual relations, right? Yet, we know if he dies childless, it's a mitzvah to marry. Okay, so there's an example where it's a mitzvah to have sex with a sister-in-law, where it's forbidden to have sex with a sister-in-law. And I will challenge you to come up with anything in Judaism, where you won't have something that's permitted. And I'm not going to say, oh, because if it's dangerous to life, not even that.
So,
what?
Okay,
where do you have Shabbos? Perfect example. Shabbos is an easy one. Shabbos, you know how to have linen and wool together. One of the begadim of the eight clothings of the Kohen Gadol, he had to wear Shabbos. That was part of the begadim. Why? I believe it's for this reason. To show us that it's not the Shabbos itself that's usher. What's the whole purpose of this? It's not the thing itself that's usher. It's the context. Okay? Where do we have idols permitted? Obligatory. Last week's parsha.
The
Kruvim.
The
Right above, one second, right above the holiest place, the Aron HaKodesh, which had the Ten Commandments, you had idols, cherubs. Idols in the middle of the Mishkan? Yes, but they're not idols. Everybody understand? And I will go ask me any of the 613 commandments. I challenge you. I will find something that is permitted and even obligatory. Yes, I'm sorry.
What about a Kohen Gadol who marries and then he divorces his wife? He cannot marry her again.
Yeah, if you say specific things like, I'm talking about a concept here. There are places where you have to get a divorce. Just the fact that a man is allowed to remarry his wife, right? It itself is a thing. The Kohen Gadol has specific restrictions because he's a Kohen Gadol. Can't even go to the cemetery, right? That's a perfect example. He's not allowed to go to the cemetery because he's not allowed to make himself tameh, right? And yet, the halacha is, if he comes in the road and he sees a dead person, and he's the only person around, he has to purposely make himself tameh in order to bury this person, that the person should not be left on the side of the road. Okay? So that's an example by Kohen Gadol, where we see that even though it's not permitted, there's places where he has to make himself tameh. Specifically in terms of, you can ask in terms of halacha, why does the halacha say we have to make noise with Haman? Where is it that we have to be quiet with Haman? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the action itself. Okay? There's the action, the performance of a ritual. There's no such a thing as a ritual that's not permitted. It's only not permitted because God told us not to. Okay? By the way, so source number 6, I'm going to move on a little bit, says, this is from the Rush, it's not put in right, and also from the Gemara, that shows that the Shibuta fish, Shibuta fish, who ever heard of Shibuta fish? Shibuta fish was a common, something that was common that was eaten. Rabba Malach Shibuta, it says in 3 places in the Gemara. The Shibuta Mai, Shibuta Dab Tavarhu, Kibit Sarfat Ochlimoto. The Rush says it was a very common food that was used in France. He lived in the 1300s, the Rush. Right? So we're not talking about something that was, something that was it. In other words, it's not the taste itself that's not permitted. Okay? And which has implications, by the way, when they're going to start to make, and they already started to make, delicious pork in a laboratory that is from, not from, well, some of this is from the actual cell, stem cells of pig, some is not, and it's going to be kosher. But to say, I don't know if you guys were around, and this is not to this year, I have all shear on this at the moment. In the 1960s, there was something called bacos.
Yeah.
Okay? When you put in salad, it was a taste of bacon. So they tell me. It had an OU on it.
Yeah.
Okay? Is it permitted? Not permitted? It's not the taste that's not that permitted. Okay? So let's go on. Okay? All right? Now, where does this mean? It doesn't mean that there's anything specifically usher. In fact, the Medrash says this, and this is basically Jewish philosophy as well. It says, in source number 7, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, he said, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Minayin shelo yomar adam e efshin lubo shatnez. You mentioned shatnez. I don't want to put on shatnez. It's disgusting to me. You're not allowed to say this shatnez is disgusting to me. Chazir is disgusting to me. You're not supposed to say that. Efshi means I want the taste of chazir. I love to taste the taste of chazir. But God says don't. Right? We don't always understand why. But I do it because God said not to, not because I hate it. Now, I have no particular desire for chazer. I don't even know, what it would be. I like cheese, though, and I like meat. I don't know. Cheeseburger sounds good, right? I don't know. And you can have now. I have, these fake cheeseburgers. You go into a fleischig restaurant, real hamburger and fake cheese. Not so good. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, so what is it? Continue, it says. Continue. Alison was saying before, I will make you different than all of the, this is what Susan meant also, I think you meant the word different, not separate. I will make you different than all of the other nations. And that's what it means also in source number two, we said. That you don't do certain activities as an avera. We do it because God commanded us. We don't understand why. There's a very thick book in my car that says if you want to keep the car running in the greatest shape in the world, listen to everything in this book. Right? And they did thousands of tests. We ignore it, most people, until something goes wrong. Torah gives us a manual also. I mean, God gave us a manual. If you want to be the best human being you could be, and we'll come back to that in a few minutes, keep the manual. Manual is the Torah. We don't understand necessarily why, just like we don't understand by the car why. But if they did the tests and they made the car, we assume that they know better than me what's going to make for the car to be right, even if it doesn't make sense to me. Correct?
Correct.
Okay. All right. Now, and source number eight says, this may help you get through a lot of difficulties, especially during this war. Okay? I like his name is Ben-Hehe, right? That's his name, Ben-Hehe. His parents liked it so much they named him twice. Okay, well, that's his father, I don't know. Lefum Tzara Aga. It took to the 20th century when the multi-billion dollar, maybe trillion dollar industry called health clubs took off. And what's the big thing? No pain, no gain. Right?
Yeah.
You don't get anything unless you suffer through it. Or you understand that you have to put in the effort in order to get the reward. Right? The Mishnah said it long before that. If you don't put in the effort, you're not going to get the reward. You want to feel good as being a Jew, you have to put in the effort. It's not something that comes too easily. That's what it says. As much effort you put in. Now, I'm going to stop right now. So far we've talked about being holy is right place, right PPP, right the time, right place, right purpose. Yeah, that's one definition of holiness. Now I'm going to come and stop, and we're going to come to three or four other definitions, and we're going to see not necessarily agree, but they don't disagree. Okay? In order to understand this, we have to start about, I guess 2,500 years ago, 2,300 years ago, in the Greek philosophy. Now the Greeks came along, and their highest value, I don't know if you know, what was the highest value?
Beauty.
Beauty. Physicality, the human body, correct. Not as a only as a concept, but as a religious principle. So the more you honored the body, the more religious you were. When they had the Olympics originally, it was at a religious event, right? You got into shape and you had all these events, and that's why you always, in the Olympics, I don't know if you know, it was always naked, right? Imagine today, right? If you have, why was it naked? Because you honor the body. You're not gonna hide it, it's we honor the body, okay? They have something that was called, today, what we call an orgy, right? Is excess food or excess sex, right? In a group, et cetera, et cetera. Originally, today, the purpose of it is fun, right? Have a great time. At that time, it was a religious event. The more they ate, the more they believed they were honoring the body as a religious rite. And therefore, you know, they could force themselves to throw up in order to have more. You know this?
Yeah.
Why? Because the more they can have, the more... Okay. And the same thing with sex. The more sex you had, the more you honored the body. Along came the Christians and said, that's not what Jesus believed. That's not what Christianity believes. Christianity believes that you're not made up of a body, not only the body, you're made up of a body, but the most important component of a human being, as opposed to all other creatures, is
the flesh.
Soul. And therefore, the more we feed the soul, if you will, the more we honor the soul, and we minimize the body, the more holy we are. The Greeks said, honor the body the most. You become most holy when you honor the body. Okay? Christians came along and said to the opposite. Take away all bodily pleasures and just concentrate on the soul. And therefore, what do the greatest Christians do?
Monks.
Okay, monks who represented the ideal, pope, etc., what?
Priests,
what do they do?
Don't get married.
Not, okay, they were celibate, no sex. And the monks used to take vows of?
Silence.
Silence, so they didn't use their mouths.
Poverty.
Vows of not only chastity, but also poverty, right? And the less you concentrate on the physical, the holier you are, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. What does the Torah say? Take a look at the first source, number 10. I'm going to try to finish everything, we'll see. If we only had source number 10, we'd say the Christians are right. Right? Because man was made with the holiness of God, there's a piece of God inside of us, the soul is the essence of being a man. But it also says, in the second line, this says the next chapter of, which I don't know how the Christians understand this, how did God make mankind? Not only from in his image, but afar min adama. Part of man is that we are from the ground. God gave him a soul, but we were made from the ground. And the Gemara right after that says, the Midrash says, but two Midrashim. Vayitzer, it says Vayitzer, now notice with two yuds. Why with two yuds? Because Yitzer means desires. From the second pasuk, we say man has a desire to be like the adama, to be like the animals, to be animalistic, and he also has a desire at the same time to be like
God,
right? The body and the soul. And Rav said, "Amar b'shem Rabbi." This is another medrash. Rabbi Acha Elyonim Nivru B'Tzelem, right? The angels or some creations were built only with Tzelem. But they don't have children, they don't have sex. But tachtonim, meaning us, human beings, parinu rabin, we have sexual desires and sexual activity. Because the animals, the tachtonim, the animals and all the other creatures in the world, we have only parinu rabin, they reproduce. They don't have selam elokim. Udmut, amar kadosh baruch hu harei ani borei otom et selam ubedemut. I make man into a combination of both. Minalyin parad rava, minatachtonim, etc., etc. Okay? We have both. And Judaism rejects both Christianity and Greek philosophy when it comes to holiness. How do we make holiness? How many people were here last week? Raise your hand. Okay? So if you don't, you can listen to the tape. Right? We talked about this last week. We do not deny the body in Judaism. And of course, we do not deny the soul, but we combine them both. How do we combine them? Okay, we satisfy bodily needs for the purpose of making the soul holier, for the purpose of connecting to God. So we talked last week about Shabbat, and therefore we say on Shabbat, body has a need to dress up nice, to go into a nice sauna, right? Everybody likes to go to the shvitz, go to the sauna. So Gemara in source 13 says, "Rechitzat yadayim v'raglayim v'chamim," right? Right, washing in the sauna, taking a bath, right? Rishut, you're allowed to. V'ani omer mitzvah, we're talking about on Friday. It is a commandment according to this opinion. My mitzvah, dam Rabbi Yehuda, markach kayam min hadosh Rabbi Yehuda bar Eloi Erev Shabbat, mevim ala riba, melaya chamin, rochets panam, umitatez yoshvim b'snin, mitzayitz, lamel amalach Hashem l'mitzvakot. And he felt like he was an angel. Why? Because he did it for the purpose of Shabbos. Nobody feels like an angel when they're taking a bath, just to take a bath. But if you're doing it for the purpose of Shabbat, you feel like an angel. And therefore, source 14, that's preparing for Shabbat. Yilbash begadav hana'im, you should wear your nicest clothes. Yismach b'viyas yosef, but you wear your nicest clothes because you wear your nicest clothes when you're going to get married. If every Shabbat we're getting married, symbolically to the Shabbat, and we wear it for the purpose of Shabbat, you are honoring the body, you are satisfying bodily needs. And last week we talked about getting high. If you take wine and you do it just to get high, you're not yotze, even a Friday night. But if you do it for the honor of the Shabbat, it's okay to get high. same thing with Purim, which we'll talk about next week, not now, about getting drunk, etc. All right? Now, the Chinuch says something amazing. If you ask most people in the world, when I decide to be Jewish and I'm convinced philosophically, then I'll start keeping some of your commandments. I'm talking about Jews who say this, right? Most people say, when I'm convinced intellectually, then I'll start to behave a certain way. The Chinuch says, I'm not going to go into it, but he said, because we don't have time, that's all reason. He says, and this was what we saw last week, and this is what we see about holiness as well. The body, what we do with our body, affects the soul. Not the other way around. Affects the mind. Okay? He says, and you can read it on your own. The first five words say it all. How a person behaves affects their values. Affects their thoughts. Right? Behavior comes first. Mitzvot comes first. How we think about it comes second. Na'aseh v'nishma. Okay? Sounds counterintuitive, right? But it's true. Take the worst person you know. If I were a judge, and I would take the most disgusting person that kept coming back for stealing or whatever, I would make that person not go to jail, because they're not going to get any better in jail. I'd make that person do community service where they have to walk all the old people across the street. They would have to take other people's money and give it out to charity, which he thought was the quote best. Whatever, I would make the person do actions which are chesed. If you do enough actions of chesed, if a guy says, listen, the Torah says I have to do chesed, I don't so much believe in it, that person's going to be change their mind very quickly. If you volunteer enough, right? The person who never volunteered before is now volunteering for 5 months in Aza, they're changed. I guarantee you they're changed. Because the actions affect how we think. When you see somebody that you made their day, and you did, because somebody did something for you, you feel you did something to somebody, you feel differently. And that's what I didn't say it. He says it. He says the end of the first line. In you have the worst person in the world. In and all of a sudden he started doing mitzvot. He would change because cognitive dissonance will make a person believe that what they're doing is it makes sense. Okay. Not only that, he's talking about the Kohen Gadol, but he's talking about Shabbos too. When a Kohen Gadol wears the begadim, this week's parsha, they change the result of the begadim because they're aware of what the begadim they're wearing. Our physicality affects our neshama, and that's the way God set it up. And so, certainly, when you wear your best clothes on Shabbos, you're going to be a better person. You're going to be a holy person, and that's why it's called Shabbos Kodesh. I didn't do source number 12. But how do we make Shabbat Kodesh? By taking the physical and applying it to the spiritual. Everybody understand that? So that's the second opinion. On the other hand, Rashi says, what is Kidoshin Tinyu? Right? What Susan says at the beginning, Hevu, Swar 17. Kidoshin Tinyu, how do you mean I'm holy? Hevu Prushim and Arayot. Stay away from improper sexual activities. You know, it says in Pirkei Avot, don't talk to women. Okay? Men should not talk to women. Because a man, no, a person is normal, they talk to women, they flirt. You're not going to stop doing that. You know, that's something that can lead to something not right. So Rashi says, Umina Avera, stay away, be separate, like you said, from doing Averot. That makes you holy. Shakol Makom Shatam will say, Geder Erva, wherever you find improper sexual activity, right? Atam will say the word, you find the word Kedusha, and he quotes a pasuk in Vayikra. So Rashi seems to say, we'll come back to it, like the Christian approach, right? Don't get involved in, stay away from physical activities which are not proper. Along comes the Ramban and he says something else, totally. He says, Kedoshin Tiyu is a meta mitzvah. What do we mean by meta mitzvah? not to be met mitzvah. Meta, not to be confused with Zuckerberg, right? What does meta mitzvah mean? It's an overriding mitzvah. What does he say? And if I didn't experience it and know the people who did this, I would never believe it. Kedoshim tiyu, v'yedaber kirtzot chaitim, kirtzano v'chan ve'lot, shelo uskar isu zeh ba'torah, v'hine yiyeh nabal v'shuta Torah. I will explain to you what the Ramban says. Ramban says it's impossible to list every single activity that we're going to do in our lives, especially 3,200 years ago. God was not going to write in about computers to a people who never heard of a computer, never heard of electricity, never etc., etc. Even though that's part of what God meant. But Ramban says, therefore, every single situation in life can't be put in the Torah. Right? It's not ending. He says, and therefore, there are many situations in life, says the Ramban, which technically you are not violating halakha. Okay? But we all, like the Supreme Court said about pornography, we can't define it, but we know it, we see it. So he defines the person who buys a lot of kosher meat and makes a bracha and then keeps eating like a pig. He stuffs himself like the Greeks, right? Did he do anything wrong technically? Technically, if not for this pasuk, no. Ramban says that's nabal v'shut ha-Torah. Someone who is disgusting within the limits of the Torah. In other words, someone who obeys all the commandments, but does it in a disgusting way. Okay? Now that includes many, many things. And I'll give you the, how should I say it? Again, we didn't have time to put it in the sources and time to talk about it, but there's a concept in Judaism that says if you see a Torah that's burning, you tear Kriya twice. You tear Kriya on the letters, and you tear Kriya on the parchment. Why? Because as Rabbi Riskin coined this phrase, I believe, he says, there is the letters of the law, and there's the white surround. The white surround is the spirit of the law, right? What Ramban is saying is, do not, Kedoshim Tiyu means, do not violate the spirit of the law. We all know when we're violating the spirit of the law, okay? And I didn't do anything wrong. There was a nightclub in New York in the 70s called Studio 54. They made a whole movie about it. It was actually all my Jews. But it was that, and it was there. There were rooms on the side where you go and you have sex and all kinds of things. And there was a big story about a family that wanted to give, I think, the daughter the sweet 16 or whatever. And they rented out Studio 54 for one night. And it was glatt kosher. Nabal b'shut
ha-Torah. It was Arasayim.
Well, it was a lot of other things. We'll get back to Arasayim in a minute. Okay? But Kedoshim Tiyu, according to the Ramban, says, don't do anything that makes you look disgusting and that you know is wrong in the Torah, even though you haven't violated anything strictly in the Torah. And you can all now imagine in your minds many of these situations. Okay? It's like the, what's his name, says, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, the guy who was sitting an hour, comes to shul an hour before Yom Kippur, right, in order to start doing tshuva, he said tefillah zaka with every single word, and he thinks about tshuva, and his neighbor comes in and accidentally steps on his tzitzis, and the guy starts screaming at him, get off my tzitzis, right? Or the guy, the rabbi, you know, whatever, I can give you many examples. You know, what are you doing? It's not the spirit of what you're trying to be doing, right? Okay, you know, you know, I'll give you a quick story. The story about, why are we supposed to cover the challah? Because we have to have the wine. The challah has to have respect for the wine. It's really, you should be making kiddush, you should be leaving the challah first, right? And you don't want to insult the challah, so you cover the challah and you make the wine first, right? And the challah really insults it, so, and the guy comes home from shul, and his rebbe is his guest for dinner, and he comes home and the table's not set, and the guy and his wife is in the living room sleeping. They come in, and she gets up, and he starts screaming at her, "Are you not ready? The rebbe's here." Da, 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 da. And the rebbe turns to him, and I'll tell you who the rebbe was. That's not important. He says, "And you didn't come to the challah." says, why do we come to Chal? Right? So he says, because you know, I want to insult the Chal. And it's okay to insult your wife. Right? In front of guests. In other words, we tend to look at the minutiae and the specifics rather than the big picture. Ramban says, Koshin to you is look at the big picture and behold. Okay? That's the Ramban. Now we're going to go to two other ones I'm going to do quickly. All right? And then we're going to see something, and we'll finish with something amazing because I don't want to finish something. Okay. Now. Okay. So this is what we're going to finish with. Actually, we're going to do sources 19 to 28, and that's 6 minutes. Okay? What does it mean? Source 19 and 20 are the essence of the shiur. And if I were to go to, let's take that place where there was a big Chilul Hashem, in my opinion, yesterday, 2 days ago. Terrible Chilul Hashem. Right?
Okay.
Where Beit Shemesh, where you have a nice, big Haredi community, where they said, if you don't vote for this Haredi candidate, and you vote for this woman who's been mayor, religious, for the last 5 years, who's done great for the community, you are disgusting to God, and you violated all the principles of Judaism. That's what they said. They wrote it in, 20 rabbis in Beit Shemesh signed this letter. As if, and she's been mayor for 5 years and has not done anything wrong. Right? But that's their way of talking to get people to come to the... Alright? But, what's the point? If you go to a certain Haredi communities, and you talk the way we talk right now, right, about the mirrors, to use it for positive purposes, say, what are you talking about? That's not holiness. And we're going to see another definition. Before we get to that, I'm going to say one other definition of holiness. That a argument in the Gemara that continues to the Rishonim, that continues till today, about what is the essence of being holy. We'll see, fascinating. But before that, one other thing. There's also a word, I was sort of thinking that somebody would say this. The word holy is what?
Kodesh.
Kedoshim holy, Kodesh, right? What is, okay? The opposite of making God look disgusting is called? When you make a, publicly, you make people think of God, you think worse of God.
Chilashem.
It's called Chilashem. The opposite of that is?
Kiddush Hashem.
Kiddush Hashem. Part of holiness, as we saw before, it says, why should you be holy? Source number two, you become holy, Kiddushim to you, why? Ki Kadosh Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Because I am holy. And the holier you make God, the holier you are. If you do actions which make God holy in the eyes of others, that is also acts of holiness. Okay? So now we've got five, I think, on that. And now for the pièce de résistance, source number 1920. There was somebody who said, apparently this was already in the time of the Torah, I want to be holier than thou. Meaning, you gave us 613 commandments, God, but I want to be even holier and closer to you. So if you examine the story of the sons of Aaron who brought the illegal
fire,
whatever they brought, they were killed, etc. You could lead to that story. But there's in the Torah itself, somebody says, I want to take upon myself more things forbidden than the Torah allows me to. Which is that?
Nazir.
What's the name of that person?
Nazir.
Nazir. A Nazir, a Nazirite, wants to say, I want to take vows on myself that are more than the Torah allows. And the Torah understood that there will always be people like that. So therefore, rather than say we ignore these people, Torah says, source number 19, he has to take a vow, and he has to do three specific things. What are the three specific things? I'm not going to go through because we don't have time. What are the three specific things?
He doesn't drink wine.
He doesn't drink wine.
He doesn't cut his hair.
No sexual relations. And he doesn't go to any ritually impure places like cemeteries. Okay? Apparently at that time, that was like showing I'm holier than you, okay? And God says, you want to do it? Okay, I will let you do it. You do it for 30 days, the average Nazir, if he doesn't say a time, and then he goes to the temple and brings a karban, two karbanot actually, and brings a karban. Okay? The Source 19 says you have to bring the carbon. The only problem is, on the one hand, Source 19 says, Kol Yemei Yisrael Kadosh Hashem Lul Hashem. All the days of the Nazir, he's holy. Okay? On the other hand, it says, Zot Torat HaNazir B'yom Lo B'nei Yisrael. On the day that he finishes becoming a Nazir, V'Igrim HaKarbono Hashem, 19, V'Shnatot Tomei Yelam, Echad La'olah V'Kivsa Achad Ben Hashtam, T'mima L'Chatat. One carbon is for Olah, burnt offering, and a Chatat, because it's a sin offering. On the one hand, he's holy, and the other hand, a sin offering. Along comes in source number 20, I'm not going to, well, start off with source, but I want to get back. Amar Shmuel, Kol HaYoshev B'Ta'anit Nikra Chotei. If a person takes on more fasts than he's obligated to do, the five fasts, and he says, I want to fast, I want to shout holy I am to God, he's called a sinner. Okay, fine. So he says, what's the proof? Because a Nazir brings a Karban Chata. He took on more than he was supposed to. The other person says, no. Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Nazir is called Kadosh. Right? Nazir is Kadosh. And not only is a Chote, he's called Kadosh. If you take on more fast than you're supposed to, you're called Kadosh. You're not called Chote. So you have two opinions in the Gemara that says a Nazir is a Chote and a Nazir is Kadosh. And they argue back and forth, how can they be both, etc. I'm not going to have any time, I'm not going to go through it. But the opinions, and it's based on the story we said, where a person wants to take on fast days that are not obligated. Okay? Along comes, and I'll just say very quickly, there are many opinions in the Talmud, and we'll see in the Rishonim, that say you're supposed to enjoy life. And you're not supposed to take upon things that you're not willing to do. But there are other stories, other statements in the Talmud, that says, no, you are holier if you take on more. So Source 21 says, Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lach, you have to make yourself holy with that which is permitted to you, right? But on the other hand, Source 22, Rabbi Yudah Nasi Omer, if you take all the pleasures of this world, we take away those pleasures in the world to come. And again, back and forth, right? 23, every single pleasure, it doesn't mean only food, that he could have had, that he didn't take part in, you're going to have to explain to God why he didn't do it. Right. On the other hand, and the other back and forth, the Ramban says, right, I would say Rashi in this category, he says the Nazir was holy, and the reason he brings a sin offering is because he stopped being a Nazir. The more you take, the more you deny yourself, the better it is. Along comes the Ramban and says, absolutely not. You don't become holy by, and you can read it yourself, word for word, he says, don't, God gave us 613, not 614, don't go out of your way to take on more than you're supposed to. That's not what God wanted, etc. Anybody who does that is called a sinner, right? And he goes to town that. And by the way, the Rambam, the man at the end, has 14 books of halakha. The book that he called Sefer Kiddusha, the book of holiness, has two topics in it. Not Yom Kippur, not Kohen Gadol, two topics. Kashrut and sex. Those things, again, as we started out, that could potentially be sin, but we rise above it and we say, we're not. That's how you achieve Kiddusha, the Rambam, okay? Rambam 26, Al Tatiye Tzadikas, don't be too much of a tzaddik. Right? Now, what do we do l'halakha? Should you take on more than you're supposed to or not? So I go to Munsi, I say, no question, of course you're supposed to. If, you know, chumra of the week. And but since World War II, in many communities it's become very fashionable to take on more than previous generations. It's certain insecurity. I always said, you know what, everybody know what yichud is? Mm-hmm. Yichud. Everyone know what the yichud is after the
wedding?
right? Yichud is after the marriage ceremony, under the chuppah, you have the husband and wife have to spend 10 minutes together. Right? Have to spend 10 minutes together. Okay? And then the new chumrah is going to be that you have to have separate yichud rooms. Okay? The point is that in many communities, they believe in holiness is the more I take on and show God that I really care about Him. Right? And they'll measure a matzah on Pesach night with a ruler, and they'll take exactly that much, and they'll suck the hand, etc., etc. And they believe that, and they don't laugh, and they take it seriously. On the other hand, there are those who say, right, and I don't mean to separate it, the modern Orthodox versus the non-modern. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a philosophy of life. The philosophy of life is, as I said, that which you should do, you do it for the holy purpose. I don't care, and I'm going to see you in a second, okay? Source number 27 is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, who lived in the 1900s, who was a rabbi in a community, based, and he says, Bahalacha, Atir Adam Yiten Din B'Cheshbon, HaKol Ma She'ratah Yinov Lo Achav. He has to do anything that he could have enjoyed that he didn't, he has to explain to God, right? And he says that, okay, fine. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? It says something amazing that I haven't seen in any other place. Okay, oh, I forgot to tell you this, but okay. At the end of source number, well, we'll see. Hayoshev, Shulchan Aruch says, going back to our original question, somebody who takes on more fast days than he's supposed to. Im yachol isbol ha-ta'anit, nikra kadosh. If he has the personality and the makeup to lisbol, I don't know, you know, in Hebrew we know what the word lisbol means.
To cope with.
Right? 400 years ago, 500 years ago, I don't know if it has the same context. Lisbol means to suffer through, how would you say, right?
To cope with.
He's called holy. Im lav, but his personality and physical makeup is not that. Kigon she'ena bari v'chazak, but he's not strong and healthy. Nikra chote. This is the only Shulchan Aruch I know that there's a different halacha depending on your personality and depending on your physical makeup. It doesn't say, oh, well, you don't feel like sitting on tefillin, you don't have to if it's not in your physical makeup. No halacha like that. No halacha any place like this. And where do you get it from? If you turn over the page, this page, source number 20, at the very end of the last line, it says the answer like this. Lo kasha, they have two sides. Daha matzi, I wrote the word lisbol purposely, litzurei nashi. The person who we call kadosh is the person, the matzi litzurei nashi. I looked at all the sources, what does that mean? Who has the physical makeup to, how should I say, to make his nefesh suffer. If he's a good sufferer, then he's considered kadosh. Ha the lo matzi litzurei nashi is considered the guy who's a chote. So that gets that, the Shulchan Aruch says like the Gemara. But what does it mean? And then all the Mefarshim say, if he does this because he wants to do repentance on something that he did wrong, everybody says that's fine. If he wants to do it to show that he's holier than everybody else, everybody agrees that he's a chote. Okay? So it has to do, why does the Shulchan Aruch say it in this way? Because it depends on the person's intentions. If a person wants to be holy and shows he's doing holy in order, and to do that, it's like the guy who says, the chatan who says Kriyat Shema. We did that a few years ago in the kippah thing, right? I'm going to say Kriyat Shema because I'm holy enough to say Kriyat Shema and not think about my wife, right? In a certain context, that's showing Talmud Chacham can do that. But if you say that and I say that, that's terrible, it's wrong, it's against the halacha. And somebody who feels that they are so holy that they can take on more, basically the Torah says don't do it because you're doing it to show you're holy. Anyway, the summary, okay? Go back to our first source. If you take something that could potentially be disgusting and you turn it into a positive in Judaism, according to the first source and according to everything we learned since, that's the highest form of Kiddusha. And if we can make other people, he said separate, other people look at us and say, wow, your religion is special, then Kiddush Hashem, it's a form of Kiddushah as well. All the other things that we talked about are very nice in concept, but in terms of action, you'll know it when you see it. I'm going to finish with one statement. lest we think that Kedusha is not so important on the hierarchy of things. There's a statement, I don't know if it's a statement or I don't know if I made this up, I don't remember it anymore. Okay? There are, I couldn't make this up, it's too profound. There are, we all know this, there are many, 8 billion people in the world, right? Of all the people in the world, one nation is called Kadosh. What nation?
Jews.
I'm Kadosh, Jews. Of all the tribes within Judaism, one tribe is called more Kadosh than the others. Levi. Okay, within Levi, there's one family that's more Kadosh. Kohanim. Within the Kohanim family, the holiest person in the world is my Kadosh. Time. All time, you went to the class I think about time, all time is holy, right? But certain times are holier than others. Shabbat, Kodesh, right? Okay? There are 40 days in the year which are called the holiest of the 40 of the year, which are? We don't think of it as holy, but that's what it is. Between?
Elul.
Not exactly.
Elul.
Elul till Yom Kippur. God is closer to us. And we can do tshuva, etc., from Elul till Yom Kippur. Of the 40 days, which are the 10 holiest?
The 10
Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Of the 10 Aseret Yemei Tshuva, which is the holiest day of the year?
Yom
Kippur. Okay? What part of Yom Kippur is the holiest? When the Kohen Gadol would do, you know, whatever, he would do the, bring in the incense, etc., and pray for the people. So we'll get to that. Okay? Holiness of place. Right? Which is the holiest place in the world? What country?
Israel.
You're sitting in. Okay? Israel. What's the holiest city? It says there are ten measures of holiness. Which city has 9/10 of that holiness?
Yerushalayim.
Within Yerushalayim, Beit HaMikdash. Within Beit HaMikdash, Kodesh Kodesh is the holiest place. Right? The holiest place. Okay? So far we talked about holiest person, holiest time, holiest place, and God created the world with words. Not with action. Bereshit bara Elokim. Alright, Vayomer, Vayomer, Vayomer. Okay, so all words have a certain holiness. Which is the holiest language? Lashon HaKodesh?
Hebrew.
Of all the words, which are the holiest words? All the names of God. Okay? Of all the names of God, which is the holiest?
Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei,
whatever, however that's pronounced. Now think about this. When the holiest person went to the holiest place, right, at the holiest time, and said the holiest word, that's how he got kapara from Bnei Israel every single year. Mm. Guaranteed. So if you think being kadosh is not so important, realize how powerful the ability is to be kadosh. Especially when you put it all together at once. I thank you. Next week you're allowed to come in and in masquerade in costumes if you want. For Korah.